Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those in his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will enter into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. A couple of years ago, on an early spring Sunday afternoon, early in the afternoon in the city of Asheville, I was interning at St. Mary's Anglo-Catholic Parish, and that time was coming to an end. In the Diocese of Western North Carolina, aspirants, or people who are discerning a call to ordained ministry, get to intern at a parish that's very different than the one that they worship in. And we do that internship for about 8 months, just so we can see a different side and gain a different perspective and experience something new and different and see how other communities come together. And it was all good stuff. But you couldn't get much different from the cathedral than the high Anglo-Catholic parish that I was interning in. That Sunday began, like many other Sundays had, with a 7:45 a.m. Right One morning prayer service, followed immediately by an 8 a.m. Right One Holy Eucharist. And after this service, we would have a little bit of a break. And it was just enough time to run out and get a bagel and down some caffeine. I was partial to the cinnamon sugar bagel with pumpkin cream cheese at Brugger's. But it hardly met a healthy breakfast, and you'd see my sugar go up and spike down. But that's all right. That's what caffeine is for. As a community of faithful people, we as Episcopalians, we eat whenever, whyever, and however, and often as possible, right? Like, we know how to chow down. We would eat together around the table. We share a meal every Sunday here. And even this week, some folks gathered on Thursday to celebrate a Thanksgiving feast in our parish hall. Thanks to Jerry and Dale Link. I got back to the church right before the third service was about to start, and I had just enough time to put my vestments on and to check my teeth in the mirror to make sure I wasn't harboring any bagel remnants somewhere in there. The mass went off without a hitch. The incense stayed lit and smoky. The Sanctus bells rang. We prayed and we sang and we received. And when it was all over and done with, we went downstairs for coffee hour, where we ate and drank and enjoyed each other's company. And we offered hugs and handshakes, laughter and smiles. All of that is food for our soul and food for our heart. And it helps us remember that we are indeed a community brought together around the table to share. The rector of the parish asked me to go get ready for our next service. Yeah, we had one more that day. And I hated to leave the party, but there was still more work to be done. So I hopped into my 2000 Ford Focus, and I drove to the Ingalls grocery store down the street, and I went to the deli counter, and I picked up 250 pieces of fried chicken and rolls. Do you know what 250 pieces of fried chicken smells like in your car 2 weeks later? It lingers, you know, and it hangs out. And I will say I was tempted driving from the Ingalls grocery store to the church that we were heading to just reach over and grab one of those delicious chicken legs, but I managed to overcome that temptation. And as I was arriving and pulling into the parking lot where we were going next, there were many hands there, and they lifted the chicken out of my car and the rolls out of my car, and they lifted the green beans out of somebody else's car and the tossed salad and the mashed potatoes, and it was just a feast, one by one, being paraded into the sanctuary. And we were greeted as we walked in by weather-worn faces of the congregation just outside the doors of the church. And once inside the space, people were setting up chairs and tables, and they were preparing the bulletins for the next service, which would start at 1:30. And as the doors flew open, the largest congregation of the day walked in, and they prepared their hearts for worship. Christ the King, the one we call Lord, the one who is the Word made flesh, gathered with his disciples. And he said, "When I come into my glory and I sit on the throne of glory, there will be judgment. Sheep will be at my right hand and goats will be at my left." And that's what Jesus shared with his disciples. And the message that he shared with them was then filtered out through his disciples, spread far and wide. This is the message Jesus shared right before he was betrayed. Right before his disciples went to prepare for the Passover feast. And this is the same message that we are called to live into. Building a faith community is not about profiting off of someone's hardship, but to be present with them in the midst of their hardship and to offer what is ours to offer. Building a faithful community isn't about dividing people into groups of who's worthy and who isn't, because we are all worthy as beloved children of God. These are words that we hear on Christ the King Sunday. And they're unlike any other words that a king has said at the time of Jesus or since. These are the words that help build a true and sustainable kingdom with love and grace and hope and mercy and faith. Jesus was saying, it's not about how much money you make or what clothes you wear or where do you live or what kind of car you drive. That's not what builds a kingdom. What builds a kingdom is how we treat one another. Simple as that.
And how we treat one another is reflecting the way that we would treat Christ. And back in the day, just outside the room where Jesus was meeting with his disciples, there were people who were starving to hear that kind of message. It's about love. I think Bishop Curry says, if it's not about love, it's not about God. And the truth is, there are people outside our doors today who are starving to hear words like that as well. Worship began with a song led by a choir of voices that were rough and tired. Prayers were offered from a place of devout genuineness that caused my hair to stand on end. And when the offering plate was passed around, I wept. Here in this huddled heap of humanity were people who knew the valleys of life well. Better than most of us can even imagine, the time that was normally taken up with a sermon was spent in conversation and reflection. And one of the new members of this congregation said that it was the first time in a long time that anyone had looked at him as a fellow human and not as a problem and not as a nuisance, and was not asked to move along. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you came to visit me. Christ didn't say, let's build a community using guns and swords and might and iron fists and terror. Christ didn't say, let's bilk the poor for all they're worth and take advantage of the sick and the elderly, pour money into elections and rape the earth of its natural resources and its beauty. Let's just elevate a few and let the others sink deep. This may have been how other kings ruled back then. And to be honest, how some would-be kings are ruling today. But the King above all kings, the Messiah, has a different idea when it comes to what this kingdom will look like and how he will know his followers. Some slept during the worship service. Some took advantage of the restrooms with flushing toilets and sinks with readily available hot water and soap. Some charged their cell phones from one of the many outlets around the room. And some visited with the nurse, and others took a stroll through the clothing closet. But all were fed at the table with dignity and respect, with prayers and with a love that is deeper than our very understanding. Lunch was served and conversations took place over the breaking of the bread, and people who were not present at the meal were asked about who isn't here, who's sick, who's in jail, who has moved to another place, who have we lost? These lives matter to the community of the Church of the Advocate, a church dedicated to the ministering to the needs of the homeless and the vulnerable. These sheep matter to our King, and Jesus has entrusted their care to our capable hands. The same hands that reach forward to receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to connect our hearts with the bread that we are fed, and to go out and do the work our baptismal covenant tells us to do. Where we offer food and we offer water and clothing and care and presence in the lives of all of God's children, even the least of these. Even the least of these we may gloss over or ignore or pretend that we don't see, who make us uncomfortable in the comfort of our warm cars. Even these folks are members of Jesus' family, and it says so right there in the gospel. You drive down Fairlawn to Rinalda, There's a woman there. She's there most every day. Homeless. Every little bit helps. God bless. Thank you. And I look at her from my car, and I pray for her. And I'd like to think that in the position that I'm in, I could do more than just offer prayer. And I intend to. I intend to build a relationship with her where we trust one another so that we can be in mutual ministry together. Because giving her a couple of bucks will help satiate an immediate need. And I have no idea what life she has lived that has caused a need that she has. But I know that I'm called to love her the way that I would love Jesus, that I do love Jesus. So the next time I see her, I'm going to pull over into the oil change place right there, and I'm going to ask her what her name is so that I can pray for her by name. And I'm going to ask her to pray for me by name. Because that's how relationships start, by knowing the other's name. We're fast approaching a season that encourages us to give gifts and to shop and to buy, and perhaps maybe you already made a dent in that this past weekend. I know Barbie and I did last night. Oh my God. Right now, we're actually collecting gifts for the Love Out Loud gift mart that's coming up in December. We're also collecting change for the Samaritan Ministries. Our contributions to these outreach organizations have deep impact, an impact that we'll never really know about. But allows us to see our neighbors as neighbors and valued children of God. But I'm going to also ask you to do something maybe radical. Consider it, at least. I'm going to ask that you consider making a gift to an organization or organizations that have real significant impact in areas outside of the United States. There are lots of them out there, but one in particular is the Episcopal Relief and Development Organization. And I give a gift in honor of my mom and dad every year because they taught me how a mosquito net can impact the life and well-being of a family. Just a mosquito net. And Brooke has put in your bulletin a green sheet of paper that says what, and that asks some questions about Christmas and Advent and all that. And one of the questions is, what is the best gift you've ever received? And I wrote on my paper this morning, I got a goat last year through the Episcopal Relief and Development from my mother in love. And I just chuckle at that as the best gift I could have ever received. When you're considering your wish list in holiday season, this holiday season, maybe you could invite someone to give a gift in your honor as well. When it came time to clean up after lunch on that Sunday afternoon, I was tired, by the way. Leftovers were packed up into takeaway containers to be shared with those who couldn't be there at the service, given by those who had been there. So they were being fed at the table to go out and feed others. That is the kingdom that Christ the King and the King above all kings calls us to be. Not sword, not wrath, but love. Using our talents, our ability to be present with people. That's how you build the kingdom. And if you've been paying attention in the parables over the last couple of weeks, it's hard to miss the constant hum at the very root of the parables, and our faith is this, that we are to love God and to love our neighbor. Love God and love our neighbor. Love God and love our neighbor, and through that, change the world. Amen. Amen.